Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's Monday. It's Columbus Day. Happy Columbus Day, all. And just a week ago, I was stuck in Las Vegas trying to get out. And, of course, we had that horrible tragedy, which you're still trying to search out and figure out what the hell happened. But at the end of the day, here we are. And, of course, the markets continue to move higher. You have a you have no reason for them to go down right now, and of course they will continue to push. And every day we go up, the volume goes down. Every day we go up, the volatility goes down. And basically, there is no interest. There is an overall lack of complacency, or there's too much complacency. Excuse me. And when markets get overly complacent, typically that is ending the nearing the end of a cycle. And we'll see again, when will it end? Nobody knows, but it will end like every other one in history has done. And I think there'll be plenty of warning signs and plenty of opportunities once it does happen. Excuse me. But at the end of the day, here we are. And we're not going to get in the way of it. We're not going to try to fight it and stop it. We're going to continue to watch it and observe. But we had a jobs number which was mediocre at best, and of course the jobs were lousy. And of course they had a built-in excuse as to why the jobs would be bad, because we had the hurricanes that they could blame them on. And again, I'm not saying that what they said is not correct or true. I think that one thing we do know is that markets do what they're going to do, and you can't really tell them what to do or why to do them. So, we had a built-in excuse that the markets were going to be, that the jobs are going to be missing. And of course they were. They had minus 33,000. Everybody's yapping about how much the pay rise was, but it wasn't very much. And of course, you're basing it off of a minimum wage. It's certainly not very good. We've got a lot of issues that are going to create much more havoc. But again, one of the things you have to remember is that today that doesn't matter, and it won't matter until they feel until the traders and bigger investors feel like it means something. And right now, it means nothing except that the markets want to go higher. Now, I can give you 1,000 reasons why they shouldn't go higher, but I can give you one reason why they should go higher, and they are. That's the reason. We're not going to try to figure out how to beat them and stop them, because until the day comes when they decide on their own. And what will create that decision? Well, there'll be something. I mean, it'll be a fear of something. What it will be a fear of, I have no idea. But something will come out that will spook markets. Now, so far, if we look back, it wasn't North Korea. It's not any of the terrorist attacks. It's not the new hawkish tone being spread out by the Federal Reserve. So right now, there is nothing that's going to spook these markets. They will continue to grow unovervalued. They will continue to find out that there's not, there's no real basis here. But again, one thing we have to remember is that as long as investors continue to pour their money in, and we only have one asset class we can get any return on, which is the stock market, as long as margin debt continues to rise, investors are buying stock with money they don't have and can't afford. which is another thing that will eventually spark the sell-off, because what's going to happen, as always happens, is something will spook some of these investors, and as they start to sell, it kind of breeds on itself. It's like pouring gas onto a fire. But right now, we got no fire, we got no gas, we've got a market that is continuing to work its way higher, and we don't expect that to change anytime soon. Now, today, Columbus Day, quiet. You know, this is one of the things I hate about the way they set these markets up. You know, half of them are closed. The bonds and the currencies are closed. The equities are open. Doesn't make a lot of sense. I've always said, why don't we just either open them all or close them all? Why be split? Because today's trading, today's global economy, today's model is based on everything. So now they are open electronically, but again, most people that trade them will not be, you know, actively participating. And you're going to see a, you know, most likely, I don't see why it will change. I think this grinding, melting up market will continue. I'm not buying into it, but I'm not selling into it either. I'm really just sitting on the sidelines, observing, waiting for better opportunities to show. And you know, I think the next big opportunity will be the downside, but I don't think you have to be first. And that's something that we always talk about very often here is we don't have to be first, because the market will give us ample opportunity to get in and to short the market when it's time. And again, I always like to go back to the most recent example, which was 2007, 2008, 2009. There was plenty of time to sell out, but people didn't want to. They sat, and then they sold out when it was finally too late. And that will be the common thread. That will be the problem that we will have again this time, is that people will wait until it's too late, and then they'll pitch then. And of course, it'll already be on its way down. And by the time everybody gets out, it'll be that time to be a buyer again. You know, I mean, the markets do go up year over year. So again, for us to believe that it's over now is kind of foolish. I think that you look at things and what happens in the world in the markets, and you create problems for yourself by trying to outguess, outsmart, outthink what's going on. Because what do we know for sure is the market's always right. And you know, I post a little note on my calls, which is the markets can be fooled, but not forever. And for right now, again, I'm not going to get in front of it. I don't think there's a reason to step in front here. I think the best trade, to quote Jesse Livermore, right now is to observe and not to trade. You know, not trading is the same as a trade. And I think that you just have to sit back and kind of let the markets do their thing. Now, long-term investors, I don't think you should change your strategy. I mean, hopefully you're hedged, but if you're not and you keep investing, as long as you're investing dollars you can afford, then there's nothing to worry about. But if you're trying to, you know, enhance your yield here and borrowing to get in, you're going to be forced out at bad prices. That's always the way it goes. That's the way it's gone in history, and there's no reason to think that history is going to change today. We're going to see the same ending to this. The only question we have is when. The patient is on life support, but life support can last for a long time and linger. And I think that's what we're going to see, is some lingering for quite a while longer, but we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every single day, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. I think you'll enjoy it. And, of course, you can get Bubba's daily update every day after the close, email to your inbox, no charge. I do a little quick video. All you got to do is email me at bubba@bubbatrading.com, and you say, I want those links, and we'll send them out to you. Meantime, we're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back.
Stay with me now.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for the one who brings good things to the Bubba Show and good things to life, Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Kitchen Report. What's up, Jane King?
Hey, Todd. I'm just so glad that I know you were in Las Vegas during the mass shooting Sunday night, Monday. I'm just so glad you're okay, and it's just such a tragedy that this happened. I woke up early Monday morning to go to work. They broke in the news. You know, it's like 2:30 in the morning, Eastern time, shooting, and then as the day went on, it just got so big, and it was just so incredibly sad. So just really, really sad news. I feel for everybody involved.
It is very sad, and thank you for your concern. And it's a tragedy, and unfortunately, there's a lot of these tragedies going on, and it's amazing really how callous the markets and everything else have become to these things. It's like they become everyday events now, and it's kind of strange and sad at the same time watching all this unfold. And you know, they're going to do a lot of work here, and of course there's, you know, talk of maybe terrorism, which, you know, everybody believes. I think it's a lone wolf attack here, but you know, just shows you how vulnerable we can be as people, right? I mean, that's really where, when you're in a big crowd, I mean, you know, it's hard to protect everybody.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know what you do about this besides lock yourself in your home. And I mean, which is obviously not going to happen. On Wednesday night, I went to an event in Times Square, and I was walking right, you know, Broadway, 44th Street. And I started thinking about the shooting and New Year's Eve. And I was like, boy, there's all these hotels right here way up high, and somebody could just shoot down. And I mean, I think they're really going to be watching everybody who's checking in and out right around New Year's Eve this year. It's just, you know, ever since September 11th, it's a whole new world. You know, everything, bags checked, IDs checked, and we never had that before. And I guess this is a new reality that we live in.
No, listen, I remember the days, you know, when you'd go to the airport, for hell, you could fly with somebody else's ticket, right? I mean, you just walked up to the gate and, you know.
And you'd be right at the gate. You could greet them as soon as they got off the plane. And, that's, I mean, my kids, like, someday when they're older and can understand, I mean, they're going to be, like, amazed at the things we were able to do. I remember pizza delivery guys coming to the floor of the New York Stock Exchange with, like, 15 pizzas, you know, just coming on the floor and delivering pizzas. And after September 11th, I mean, you know, nobody gets in like that anymore. So it's, unfortunately, that's what we have to do to stay alive.
So, you know, it is a strange new world, obviously, but of course, the technology is part of it. I mean, the more advanced we get, the more you have. And of course, I think also, you know, you look at the economy, and I know everybody says it's great, and I'm not debating that it's good or not, but you can see that, you know, the worse things get economically, the more people are looking for trouble or looking for more, the more bad things happen, let me put it that way. And I think that's something that is, you know, I'm not saying the Vegas guy was this, because he seemed like he was a little bit screwed up to begin with, but, you know, a lot of these events happen because they're, you know, the economy is not good and people aren't working. I mean, you know, again, we can talk about how good it is, but people are not working, and that does lead them to, a lot of times, a bad place in life, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, you get, you know, to a certain point and you're like, wow, most of my dreams never came true. And, you know, it's frustration. You have certain expectations about how your life is going to go. And if they're not met, that it's, you know, frustrating. It's depressing. It's hard for people to handle. And, you know, I think that does lead to, you know, people kind of acting out in this way. So, you know, I think, you know, the Vegas situation, I mean, I do think, I know the gun control thing has been taking center stage in the debate about that, but I think mental illness is also extremely important. I don't think we take that seriously enough in this country. Early signs that somebody's having a problem, what do you do about it? You know, that it's okay, that everybody kind of deals with problems through their life, and it's okay to seek help. And, you know, I think that we need to do more in that area. I think that would help, because, I mean, the guy, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, so we outlaw every gun. I mean, somebody plows through with a semi, just like what we've seen in Europe. I mean, we got to get at the root of the problem, and I think that's mental health.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I think that people do not realize how devastating depression and other mental illnesses, you know, they're no different than any other illness that you can feel, right? I mean, right. Mental illness is probably worse because you got to live with it. You know, it's not like, you know, you have a death sentence and you're going to go, you know, if you've got, you know, a very serious disease here, this is something that plays with your mind. And we all know that the mind is extremely powerful and can lead you astray. And I don't make excuses for anybody because obviously it's a terrible thing. But at the end of the day, mental illness can really consume. I mean, if you've ever seen anybody who suffers through depression, I mean, people end up institutionalized from these diseases. And, you know, unfortunately, you're right. We do have to bring it more to the forefront. And I think that's a problem. And I think that that's where, you know, you also can see people that are led astray, especially when things are tough. I mean, listen, people will do anything to survive and to eat. And, you know, when economic times are tough, it's harder. And I think, you know, we see, I don't see the great jobs out there. I understand we're at 4.4% unemployment, but I don't see any of those phenomenal jobs. Do you? Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, unless you're a software engineer or, you know, a data analyst, I mean, there's really, you know, those are the jobs that are in demand. Cybersecurity, there's like 300,000 unfilled cybersecurity jobs in the U.S. There just aren't enough people who are expertise in that area, you know, to fill those jobs. So unless you're in the right field, it's very tough right now. And that's going to be a structural thing. I mean, there's a lot of studying and you have to become an expert in those areas. So, I mean, that's the tough part. I mean, I think this rally that we're seeing in stocks is just all based on anticipation of tax reform. If freeing up cash and companies have more cash on hand, they can, you know, that'll create a ripple effect in the economy, which I think, you know, besides totally redoing the education system, I think is the next best thing we can do is restructure taxes.
No, okay. I do not disagree with that at all. I think that that would be good for everybody. But do you think so? You've been around for a while. You're an expert. You also have a great background. Do you think this is a buy the rumor, sell the news kind of thing? I mean, the markets certainly have gotten very much extended here. I mean, how much more can they create if we do get the tax cuts? What's your take?
Well, and the tax reform will take some while. It'll take a while to kind of filter through the economy. I mean, we're not going to pass tax reform and the next day everybody's going to get fired and have great paying jobs. I mean, it's going to take some time. So, I just feel like, I mean, records every day in a row, I mean, that, you know, seems a little bit much. But I got to tell you, I had a conversation with our accountant last night. Of course, it's October, so it's time to, like, make a tax payment again.
Yep.
And I'm so ready for tax reform. I mean, it's ridiculous, like, how much. I mean, I work so hard, and I feel like, you know, I'm half asleep half the time because I'm like, I'm getting up in the morning, I'm working, I'm having meetings after work, and I'm taking my kids around, you know, and then basically, you know, I'm writing an enormous check to the government. So I'm very much ready for tax reform. I think a lot of people are, and I think it's desperately needed.
All right. So wait, I have a very important question to ask you. Would you rather have tax reform now or would you rather have healthcare reform now?
Oh, goodness. I think, I would rather have tax reform. I think that would actually do more. I mean, I figure, like, if we could reform the taxes, streamline those, make them simpler, that frees up cash. And if I choose to spend it on healthcare, I choose to spend it on healthcare, but I could choose to spend it on what I want to. So I think I'd rather have tax, although they both need help.
Right. Well, I mean, I think, you know, I look at it this way. I mean, tax reform needs to be done, but also if we got the healthcare done, that would clean up and free up a lot of jobs because then companies would actually expand. You know, I think one of the big problems we have with the earnings, everybody's bragging about how great the earnings are, but we are seeing the earnings on more contraction of companies than growth. And that's kind of, you know, an issue to me. And I think that that's something, you know, again, I don't care whichever. And I know I understand your pain because you're in New York. So you get the benefit of paying an extra tax because you live in New York.
Yeah, I know. I was actually thinking about that last night. I was like, is it really worth it to like go to all these cool restaurants? You know, like my feeling is that I'm just going to try to take advantage of as much free stuff as I can. So that's my new like thing for the next year, like all the free stuff I'm going to try to do, because I mean, this tax thing was like, it was more than I expected. And, So, here we go.
Give us a quick update on your, give us a 30-second take on what's going on in your education, just your podcasting.
So we're kind of ramping back up again. So we're talking to T. Rowe Price this week. There's a guy there. They did a survey about, education, saving for education, just the financial literacy. So we're going to be talking to him. And then also Chris Hogan is part of the Dave Ramsey Group, is going to join us later in October. So he always has some great stuff to say about living within your means and just always good advice. It's, you know, so hard to live by, but we're going to have some great guests coming up this fall.
Awesome. Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Kachinga Report, and the educational queen of the world. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks, Todd.
And that was our friend Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Kachinga Report. And, of course, you can download The Bubba Show every day at libertytalk.fm. And make sure you do that. Help a brother out. Also, The Sporting Edge. And don't forget to get Bubba's daily update available to you every single day, right after the close. Email to you, no charge. That's Bubba's daily update. Go to email me at bubba@bubbatraining.com. We're going to step out here for a break, and we'll be right back with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back.
Margie said, Roy, you ain't listening.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our technical analyst, our genius at hand, and the guy who's on the markets all the time, Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. Make sure you check him out. Check out his website. Great stuff, and always working to help serve you guys better. In the meantime, Mr. Demeter, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Todd. Great to be here.
You know, I tell you, I was talking to you before we actually started, and I said to you, you know, this action is brutal. Even if you're right, it's a challenge. And this is more like summer trading. And, of course, we're in the fourth quarter, which is the time the markets are supposed to be busy. What do you see here, my man?
Right. I mean, no volume, no volatility. Looking at this, I think we've now had 12 consecutive months of gains, which in the S&P. Maybe it's not quite 12 yet, but if at 12, we haven't seen that since 1940. So, or it goes back to the 40s anyway, and the amount of volatility we've had has been so small. It's been so calm. I think the statistic is that we have not had a drop of more than 2.8% over this entire, you know, past 12 months from high to low. So that's incredible. It's very, you know, it's obviously very unusual.
No, it's let's put it this way. It's disgusting from a trader standpoint. You know, investors are obviously happy because the market just kind of dribbles higher. But, you know, we have had, I think, it is 12 consecutive months that we're up. And basically we're up 16 out of the last 19 months. And, you know, again, I'm not mad that they go up. What I'm upset about is that there's no trade. There's no action. There's no real volatility. And it doesn't look like there's going to be much volatility on the forefront either. As much as we see the offset and the skew and the options for the VIX, and as much as we see those guys buying VIX futures, it doesn't appear to be that there's going to be a big spike in volatility anytime soon. What do you think?
It's one of those things where it doesn't appear until one day out of the blue, it just hits you, right? But for right now, we closed at, I think we had a new all-time closing low in the VIX on Thursday. So, it's unbelievable how long volatility has stayed down this low. And realize volatility hasn't been there.
No, it's actually declined for basically 12 straight months almost. And of course, it did make a new closing low. And again, we know that, you know, we have a saying here on the Bubba Show is that markets don't announce themselves when they're ready to do something. And, you know, we'll see when they're ready to do something. I mean, you and I both know that there's going to be a sell-off, but I know you think based on your technical work, that the markets will have can go out and really expand here first before we have a sell-off. Is that still your views?
I think – well, I have mixed signals coming at me. I think the NASDAQ broke out last week Thursday. So that doesn't fit with – basically what I'm seeing is in the NYSE – we're now we've gone to the next level up in terms of my short-term projections, and now not only are we at the next short-term level, but we're at the within 50 points of a very big pattern that is very bearish. We're at the very top line of that. So there's only maybe another 50 points of upside before that pattern is broken. But we're right at – this is the first hit. That we're right there now. So I would think we would get some downside from that. If not, then it's going to have another 200 points to the upside. But I would think it's going to – this week we're going to have some downside action. At minimum just to alleviate these overbought conditions. And, you know, the Russell 2000 popped pretty hard, you know, for the past 2 weeks. And I think it's ready to, you know, pull back at least to its breakout point, which was an IWM that was about 145. So I think that would make sense. And just to see some pullback and see, you know, these indicators, relax a little bit so they can get more upside.
Yeah, no, I mean, I mean, the markets are the markets, and we can't fight what they're doing. We have to be able to interpret what they're doing with inside there. And of course, volatility continues to fall. Now I notice that I think the skew is still on the VIX options. Is that right?
Yeah. No. I mean, it's about going out a week or two, going out about 2 weeks. There are about 20-fold more expensive for the VIX calls than for the VIX puts. So at the money. So that's still a pretty good skew. But you know, it's been that way for 2 weeks, and we still haven't had any volatility.
And it's amazing that some of the puts that are trading there are under parity with 2 weeks to go, right? It's interesting,
right,
that's happening as well. I mean, that's another thing. But, of course, I think it's a little bit different with European options because you can't early exercise. So they can sell them under parity for now. You can't do anything about it until it changes. But, you know, we see markets that nobody cares. Now, what are you seeing, from the commercial side, and what does the commitment of traders look like right now?
So, with the VIX futures, the commercials are still at an all-time long position. They didn't really change much. The dealers side of it, they added 5,000 contracts. They're at about 105,000. The overall category is at 180,000. So it's a huge VIX position. It's in my opinion, you know, not the greatest. Well, it's potentially not the greatest hedge because it decays, but it'd be the same thing as buying puts, which are very cheap. So maybe it actually is a decent hedge. But the Dow futures, they're heavily short. That's the still same story there. NASDAQ and Russell, they're flat. And S&P, they're short about 3-1. We had the bank participation report just come out. It showed that the banks are at least 3-1. I think it's more than that. I can't remember offhand, but they're up to a fairly large S&P short position. It has been bigger, so you know I could see it getting bigger. But they're fairly bearishly positioned, except for the NASDAQ, except for the Russell.
Right. And I mean, I guess that makes sense. But of course, that would be kind of counter just from a fundamental view of the market. I mean, a strong Russell, strong NASDAQ usually means stronger markets because that's where people go when they're willing to put the risk on. Right. So
right.
And you see, you I think we talked last week. You thought like there's another 200 points the upside in the NASDAQ. Is that right?
I think there's another in the NASDAQ. I think there's another. We're looking at 8,000 as a top.
Oh, I'm sorry. So you're at 30% higher. Okay.
Yeah. I was like 22. I think it was 22% when I did the. Yeah, because we're at 6,500, so that's another 1,500 points. So yeah, it's about 22% more to the upside in the NASDAQ. I mean, we just. The way I'm looking at it, we just popped over the resistance line that I was looking for in the NASDAQ. So. you know, we're not well past it. So maybe it's still in the margin of error, but I kind of think we got past it. And I think that of the indices, my strategy right now is to be long NASDAQ and short Dow.
All right. Well, I mean, that seems like a reasonable spread. And what is your gauge? What do you use to measure the NASDAQ? What product are you using?
I'm actually using the NASDAQ Composites to do the charting. But when it comes to trading, I mean, it's very how do you trade the NASDAQ Composite as a vehicle? I just go to the NASDAQ 100 futures, or I use QQQ.
That makes sense.
It's not the same, but it's similar.
They're going to run the same type of pattern, though. So, no, I get that. So you are using the comp, you know, because you could use the NDX. There's a lot of things you could use as the representation, but you're actually using the comp, which is the big index which everybody would see, and that's the index that they report on all the time. So, you know, we've got, you know, obviously a lot of things going on around the world, but, you know, nothing really affecting the markets. And now, do you expect this? So this week you expect a little bit of selling pressure. When you say a little bit of selling pressure, if you were going to target, I'm just trying to get a feel for what kind of sell-off you're looking for. How far would you expect the sell-off to go down in this if we do get it this week?
Well, I think we have to get back. I think, at some point we're going to have to see a pullback to the breakout points. So for me, the breakout point in IWM, as I mentioned, is around 145. And we're at 150 approximately right now. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit of a pullback. Then in the S&P, I was looking for a top around 25.15, 25.17. It was, I think, the actual when I saw it pop and I saw, you know, more or less move vertically, it was actually more about 25.13. So I believe that's probably where the breakout occurred. So I think, you know, in the S&P, we're looking for, you know, that'd be about a 20 point pullback to 25.13. If it's then I want to watch and see what it does. I want to see if it falls back below the breakout point or if it uses that as support. I'm thinking it's probably going to use that as support and then, you know, take back off to the upside. If it doesn't, then, you know, clearly it's going to be something a little more bearish.
Well, that's what I would think. I mean, I think, you know, again, so you're looking for like, it's like a 1.5% in the S&P and probably a 3% sell off in the Russell, which would make sense and put us into, potentially an opportunity to step back in and buy. And you're saying that you want to sit back and kind of watch that before you want to step in and buy, but your overall view is that we're going higher once we go back to those levels. And I think I'll let you answer that on the other side of the break. We are with our expert, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Make sure you check out his website. He's got a great newsletter. And, of course, when he's not on, every emails, he wants to know where he's at. So we always make sure we get him on. And this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every single day, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And don't forget Bubba's Daily Updates, a little video done right after the close. You can get emailed to your inbox directly. Just email me at bubba@bubbatrading.com. We'll be right back with more from Matt Demeter after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right back. Show Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter of DemeterResearch.com. Great newsletter, great information, our technical analyst expert. All right, so you're looking for the pullback to support or to the breakout area so that you can look to become a buyer. Is that the way it looks like?
Right. Yeah, that's it. I when we get there, I want to see what indicators look like. So if daily RSI has pulled back enough, if we get below, say, 40, 30 in that zone, then I'm gonna go long at those levels, and then if we break below, I'll use that breakout point as my stop, my long entry just above, and my stop just below. So you'll
take a fairly tight position here because let me see if I can put this right. From a pure technical standpoint, it should probably break the upside. But from an emotional standpoint, tie with what we know, you really think we're probably eventually going to break down here. So you will put in a relatively you'll participate if it goes up, but it can stop you out probably a little bit easier than most positions that you would put on.
That's right. You know, it's actually hard for me to get long at these levels. It's, you know, it's tough because valuations are so, I mean, I don't want to look at fundamentals too much, But the issue is, you know, trees don't grow to the sky, right? I mean, we're not it can only go so far before it's just too out of whack. It's the same thing on the downside. You can't, you know, things are not going to go to zero. So you're not going to get PEs below, you know, 2. So, you know, I also don't think we're going to get PEs above, you know, 40.
Right.
It's unlikely. It has happened in the past, but it's if we're looking at you know, cyclically adjusted PEs, we're at 30 right now. So that's a tough buy. But, you know, just using the technicals for short-term trading, I'm happy to get long at those breakout points and see if we can get probably another 10% upside in the S&P and Dow, and probably more like 20%, you know, 22% in NASDAQ.
All right. And now, you know, you and I have talked about, you know, the currencies a little bit. And what are you seeing in the currency world? And anything stand out in your mind? I mean, the dollar is made, as you called on the show, you looked for a buying opportunity of the dollar. And it seems to be, you know, it seems to have found that bottom, which you kind of thought it would. And of course, here we are.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's done well for the past few weeks, and it could continue. It didn't quite get as low as I would have preferred, but my target low is rising, and as we've been talking about it, you know, it's been going up. So actually, I'd be looking for a little bit of weakness here in the dollar, back down to the bottom that we got, which was just below 91. I think a double bottom would make sense. I'm looking for, you know, in the euro still, you know, closer to 122. We might not get the full way, but I don't think it quite completed to the upside either. So, you know, I might be trying to be too exact with it, but I think we're going to get a little bit more. I think we're going to get one more move down in the dollar and one more move up in the euro. You would think after that last jobs report that, you know, that would have done it, but I think the wage gains were fairly good, and the unemployment rate didn't take up, even though we lost 30,000.
Nobody cares. I mean, the bigger thing there is
they threw it out because of the hurricane, I suppose.
They always have a built-in excuse, right? That is one thing we could look at, but again, that's not what you do. I mean, I know obviously you look at it like everybody else, you understand it, but it doesn't mean a hell of a lot here. And of course, the dollar looks to be better. You know, it's over your first look, which was, I think, 92 is when you first wanted to look at it. And of course, it's now well over that for now. Now, you know, you're looking at some of the other things that are going on in oil. Now, again, oil failed once again. It got to about 52.80 or so and it completely fell apart and is back under 50. Now, I know you had a target which was much higher. And now is that target declining, or is that target still up there? Or what's your view on oil?
It's declining, and I'm frustrated with that. You called that much better. That high, yeah, just under 53. There was a pattern there. It wasn't as big as the one I was looking at. I was thinking. I also have a pattern in RSI itself, and it didn't quite. It certainly didn't finish. So that is what continued to make me think that we were going to go to a higher high in the 54 to 56 zone. And that's where we're going to layer on some heavy shorts. We did short some calls. We did short some XOP, the Oil Explorers ETF, but we did not get on the heavy oil short that I wanted. So, I'm still thinking there's a good chance we're going to go back up to those, you know, the 52s. And, you know, this time I may not be as, you know, rigid about it. I may start at 52 and hope that we get, and, you know, I'll take a look at the RSI when we get there. But once that RSI pattern completes, then I'll know it's a good time to really layer on shorts. This thing eventually is going much lower.
I think you and I agree. We're going back to under 20 eventually. I mean, this is not tomorrow or anytime in the near future, but somewhere in the next 5 or 10 years, we're probably going back to where you were 20 years ago, which was zero, because hopefully we'll be smart enough to get past the oil and we'll get big oil out of control. And of course, then it'll be worthless. But, you know, so you got that view. And of course, gold been pretty wild, actually. You know, you and I talked about this last week, you know, that I thought that some of the gold money was going into the cryptocurrency space, that you agreed. But now gold, it seems like 1262 is a pretty big number to hold. And, of course, it went right down there on Friday and immediately popped up $15 from there. What are your views on gold from here?
Yeah, well, there was a, you know, you have the 200-day moving average, which was just below where it bounced. It's right around 12, just below 1260. And that's, you know, that's roughly where gold dropped to. That makes sense. And there was rising support there. I'm not sure that it's going to hold. I'm not banking on the idea that it will hold. I think the indicators don't look washed out. I think they look like they have more downside. The commercials, you know, when we talk about commercials and about, you know, whether they're doing well in Dow or volatility, they always do well in gold and silver. Always. I mean, they have almost a perfect track record in, you know, shorting gold and silver and buying back at lower levels, which, you know, it's pretty unusual to see a perfect track record.
Almost like yours.
No, these guys control these two markets. They are, you know, heavily manipulated, in my opinion. But the point is that they have not covered that much on the way down. They've covered about 25% in gold and silver of what they shorted on the way up, and we're down about half. We're down about 50%, and they've only covered about a quarter of what they shorted on the rise. So I'm thinking that, you know, from that perspective as well, they're going to get more downside. And I have in gold, I have target lows at about 1230 is my first level down, and then about 1150 is my big level down. So I'm thinking at least the 12, you know, 1230 will be hit.
All right, and that makes sense. I mean, again, look, I don't know. I'm a much shorter term guy, and I look at it and I say, okay, well, as long as 1262 holds, we're going to sit here or go higher. I don't think there's a lot of room on the upside yet. I believe that the bear market in gold is over. It doesn't mean we're going up yet. It's not that we're in a new bull market. I just think the bear cycle part is over, and now we kind of chirp around, you know, within a, you know, 100 or 200 point range back and forth. But the straight down selling that we saw from obviously 1900 to 1000 is over, in my opinion. Now, quickly as we wind down here, but what's your view quick in the agricultural space? I mean, those are almost like frozen in time. They're going absolutely nowhere. Beans are kicking up again once that 977 level. But overall, the whole agricultural space is like suspended in space waiting. What do you see in those space?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot for me to comment on. I would say for soybeans, they're back at descending resistance, so I would be shorting. It's not a perfect setup because you don't exactly have super overbought conditions. They're essentially neutral as far as the indicators go. Corn, I'm still, you know, a little more bearish than bullish. Just a little more bearish than neutral, basically. Wheat, you know,
still bullish.
A little more bullish, yeah.
That makes sense.
Hogs, I would say, little bearish, and cattle, I'd be a little more bullish.
And those are the words according to Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Matt, as always, I appreciate you being on, man. Thank you.
It's always great to be here. Thanks, Todd.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station, on the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.